Murder? Oh, no, it's conspiracy today, right? Unless I cooperate, help you turn dissent into a crime. I know. But what I don't understand is why this show? I'm sure you have enough bastards to tell you exactly what you want to hear. Like Michael Shack. Now there was the perfect witness.
You may continue, Prosecutor Grinnell.
Captain Shack, are you familiar with the defendants?
Assassins, terrorists. That's how I describe them.
We understand, Captain. So tell us, what did your agent learn about their plans?
Objection. Only three of the defendants were even at the May 4th meeting.
Overruled.
The anarchists' plan?
Yes, well, the night before the riot, I had a man in their meeting. He reported back as how they was talking up a socialist government. Scrap the Constitution, kill our leaders, blow up police stations, that sort of thing. Sounded like treason to me.
I understand, but they can't be charged with treason, can they? Because we're not at war.
For them, it was a war.
Objection. How does Captain Shack know what was on the defendant's mind?
Overruled. And stop jumping up every time the man asks a question.
But this is pure speculation, not fact.
Here's the fact. One more outburst and you'll be cited for contempt. Go on, Mr. Grinnell.
Now, Captain Shack, you also know something about the literature the defendants produced and sold, is that right?
Yes, sir, I do.
Do you recognize this book?
Yes, The Science of Revolutionary Warfare. They sold it at them workers' picnics. Tells how to make bombs and poison street warfare.
And does this book teach about a murder?
Your Honor, I really must object. The defendants didn't write this book.
They espoused the contents. They sold it. If they were teaching people how to murder, it's certainly admissible to prove it.
Does Your Honor know what the book says?
It teaches how to make weapons. At least that's the testimony.
And does that justify you saying in front of the jury that it teaches murder? I don't think
Enough! If it's true, we'll know it when the book is translated. I assume it's not in the English language.
Oh, we have translations, Your Honor, from the newspaper they used for their propaganda.
Objection. The article...
Overruled! You're getting tiresome, sir.
Captain, do you recognize the document in my hand?
Yes. It's a copy of the Erbitterzeitung.
The newspaper edited by the defendant, August Spies. Would you please read the marked paragraph?
It says, forgo some luxuries, buy dynamite, kill capitalists, down with police, murder them, dispose of the militia, then demand your rights.
Formula for anarchy, isn't it?
Yes, sir, right on paper.
Now, please look at this. You recognize it?
I do. It's an editorial by August Spies.
And would you read the marked statement?
With good weapons and one dynamite bomb, not one of the murderers would have escaped his well-deserved fate.
He has the audacity to call the police murderers?
Yes.
Go on.
Absolute necessity forces the cry, to arms, rise in your might and level the robber rule.
What does this sort of statement tell you, Captain?
Like I said, that they thought we was at war.
War! That's how they saw it. And how did Albert Parsons see it in the alarm? Captain, please read the marked paragraph.
We pledge ourselves to aid and assist our brethren with all that lies in our power. Our war cry is...
Fire! He says it! War cry!
Our war cry is death to the enemy of the human race.
They declared a war in their own words. And on May the 4th, 1886, they waged a war in the streets. You're a witness.
You see, there, this is how they operate. Twist the fact and a complete lack of remorse. Miss Parsons, I want to know about the bombs. Emma Goldman, Leon Czolgosz, your husband, they are all part of the same movement, the same evil, and you've been there every step of the way.
That's insane. Albert and I had nothing to do with bombs.
But you encouraged others to use them, and Louis Ling made them. The trial certainly proved that.
You may continue, Mr. Black.
Mr. Seliger, let's get to the heart of the matter. You were indicted along with the other defendants, isn't that true?
Yeah, but that was before.
Before what? Before you agreed to testify?
I had nothing to do with the Haymarket meeting.
But you know Louis Ling, and you agreed to testify against them, right?
He was making bombs. I tried to stop him.
We know how hard you tried. But now, before you testified, did you talk to anyone about what you were going to say?
My wife.
Your wife. Anyone else? Any public officials?
I did speak with Captain Shack.
Objection. Objection.
What? Oh, sustained.
Your Honor.
Just move on.
All right. Mr. Seliger, since your troubles began, has anyone offered to help you?
Some people have been supportive.
Right. And did some of these supportive people give you money?
Small amounts, yeah.
Yeah, and who were they? Your union brothers?
Nine. All I got from them was insults.
I see. Well, who then? Oh, and please remember, you're sworn to God to tell the truth.
I know that. Once or twice, police officers did help with a little cash.
What was that? The police officers gave you money? And their names?
Objection! The police aren't on trial here.
I'll withdraw that. But just so that we're clear, some police officers were helpful. Is that your testimony?
Yeah.
Good. And Louis Ling, did you ever talk with him after the bombing?
No. Never saw him again. Until this courtroom, that is. Never wanted to.
I see. Well, that's understandable. But you know what I don't understand, Mr. Seliger, is if you never saw him again, and apparently didn't appreciate the trouble he'd gotten you into, why did you try to raise money to help him get out of the country?
That was only
to get him out of the way?
No.
Objection.
So the whole thing could be blamed on him?
Objection.
The bombs were his idea.
Objection.
You only helped.
Objection, Your Honor. He's putting words in the witness's mouth.
Yes. Sustained.
But with Ling out of the country, you could say whatever
that's enough,
you wanted,
Mr. Black.
And no one would know the difference.
I said
is
that's
that
enough.
Yes, it certainly is.
Then witness is excused and court is adjourned. Take the defendants out.
A word, Your Honor.
All right, but quickly. There's a young lady waiting for me in chambers. Box seat for the hangings, that sort of thing.
Way things are going, may not be any hangings.
Oh, Julius, please. These men are headed for the gallows. Public opinion is solidly behind you.
But law's on their side.
We're the law, my friend.
But they do have to be convicted.
Stay the course, man. You're on the right track. Forget about who threw the damn bomb. Concentrate on how they work together.
Wow, we certainly have witnesses who can help with that.
Were they expensive?
Your Honor, we don't pay people to testify.
Then how do you do it?
Threats, usually enough.
And still, we thought we could win. We talked about it all the time at the jail. They'd bring all the men out to a huge cage and we'd all file in. Lawyers, wives, supporters, even fans. Most of those were young women. I mean, it was like a radical zoo. By this time, there was a pretty big defense committee, and Spies, I mean, he even attracted debutantes.
And whom did your husband attract, madam?
Not debutantes, though he probably wouldn't have minded. He did talk a lot with a journalist, Henry Demarest Lloyd. Lloyd had been going after the oil railroad trust. They call that kind of thing muckraking now.
Some call it that. I call it aiding and abetting terrorists.
Well, of course you do. Anyway, Lloyd took a lead with the clemency campaign, mainly trying to counteract all the negative publicity during the trial.
Albert, we're turning this around.
You really think so?
Seriously, people are beginning to reconsider.
Did my coming back for trial make a difference?
Can't really say about that, but just the other day I saw Lyman Gage. He's a banker in town, right at the top. Now, a month ago, he wanted you to hang. Now he's for acquittal.
What changed his mind?
Labor relations. Martyrs are not good for business.
I see. And you call that a victory?
Be realistic, man. You can't expect people to see beyond their own interests. All you have to do now is give them a reason to forgive you.
Forgiveness. We forget our self-respect, and they forgive us.
You're making this more difficult than it needs to be.
Really? You know, I used to be for reform, elections, a few compromises. We were actually the majority, right? But then our candidates started winning office, fair and square. And what happened? Ballot stuffing. Rigged elections.
I know. And afterwards, judges dismissed the charges.
So we took to the streets. Protests, but peaceful. Until the bosses brought in their goons. And the law was on their side, of course. Hey, we got the message. Take a beating or defend yourself.
But bombs?
It's easy to judge.
I know. But look, you gave them just what they wanted. An excuse to go after all of you and the 8-hour day.
Look, I appreciate all your help, but I don't have to defend myself. My decisions. Human beings deserve dignity. They need to hear they can fight back.
And then what?
You know the score. You wrote about the trusts. Morgan, Vanderbilt, Rockefeller. You know what they're capable of.
And what are you capable of?
I'm not sure. Are you? Ask yourself. If you had to choose between staring down the muzzle of a Gatling gun and defending yourself with a bomb, or whatever it took, what would you do?
It's not a choice I ever want to make.
Neither did I. But now that I'm here, I can't make believe it was just a mistake. My mistake. And I won't deny what we wanted.
But the point is to survive, isn't it? Get out of here. What difference does it make? Why?
The difference between surrender and honor.
Let me be perfectly clear, Miss Parsons. If I don't get something very soon, a cell group, a potential target, a statement that I can use, you will be charged.
Ha!
For once in your life, do the right thing.
Let me think about it.
The smart thing.
Go to hell.
Hell? No, I don't think so. That would be the life that you chose for your son, wouldn't it? Well, she didn't tell you about him, did she, Agent Dell?
Don't start with me.
Little Albert Jr., raised for the revolution. All the demonstrations she dragged him to. All the real education that he missed. It's a sad story, really.
Shut up.
About a woman who sacrificed her own son for the sake of a revolutionary pipe dream.
You're a liar.
You see, Albert Jr. was supposed to follow in his father's footsteps. That was her plan, at least.
I love my son.
But it didn't work out that way. The problem was, the young man had the audacity to love his country.
Yes, he did.
After all the years, all the speeches, what does she do? Enlists in the army.
Look who's talking.
Albert Parsons Jr. actually served with honor in the Spanish-American War.
Yes.
But his loving mother, this woman of the revolution, didn't approve of that, did she?
That wasn't it. I did everything I could.
And this is the most telling part. You see, she wanted a little red so badly that when Albert Jr. came home, she had him committed.
No!
That's right. She sent her own son to an insane asylum for being a patriot.
I didn't do that. Shut up,
Hold
or
her.
I'll kill you.
Whoa.
You bastard.
There
I will
it
kill
is.
You.
Temper, temper. Now you see why I wanted those chains. Hook her back up.
At least my boy had some courage.
Ha!
Got Palmer to keep you out of the war, didn't you?
I was exempt essential.
Coward.
Godless bitch. I said hook her up. That's an order.
How about we talk about your family? Let's say your father.
What did you say about him?
Spent his last years in Laurel Asylum, didn't he? You're not the only one who collects information. We know about you, Special Agent.
Don't you threaten me. She did sacrifice her son. First her husband, and then her boy. And for what? Don't give me that look.
I'm not, sir, but it is a little...
You think this is cruel?
Yes.
Irregular, I was going to say.
Wrong. This is reality and necessity. These people take no prisoners. They are soulless and fanatical.
Sir, I'm having a problem with this. It seems so arbitrary.
Oh, really?
And pointless.
Well, your position is noted. I thought you wanted to be a part of the team, but I see now that I was wrong.
I want to protect the country and find the truth.
Oh, good instinct. Poor execution. In any case, this black whore of a communist isn't going anywhere. The great Lucy Parsons, who urged other people to make bombs and then let them take the rap, who built her career on the bones of her comrades. This enemy of the state who hid behind the law, all the time plotting to destroy civilization, and almost got away with it. Oh, Haymarket was a true conspiracy, and there is one co-conspirator still at large.
Mr. Foreman, have you reached a verdict?
We have.
Bailiff, bring it here. Go ahead, Foreman, read it.
We, the jury, find the defendants, August Spies, Michael Schwab, Samuel Fielden, Albert Parsons, Adolf Fischer, George Engel, and Louis Ling, guilty of murder as charged, and fix the penalty at death.
Order! Order!
And my job is done here. Remember, Agent Dell, there are enemies within, and the price of peace is eternal vigilance.
Mrs. Parsons, are you all right? Do you want to stop for a bit?
It wasn't like that, you know. But Junior, he had problems. It's true. And I did put him in the...
Why don't we talk about the current threat?
You know, he was younger than you when he came back from that war. Teddy Roosevelt's war, Hearst's war, and only 9 when his father was convicted. Strange thing. At the time, I didn't think that they could ever be sentenced to hang.
It wasn't a good verdict or a just sentence.
They never really had a chance. I can see that now. Someone had to pay for those dead policemen.
Mr. Parsons, you may address the court.
Before Judge Gary has his final say on this case, we each have ours. So let me be frank. I'm an anarchist and a socialist. Horror, hang that man. But before you do, consider this. What is socialism? The right of the worker to equality, an equal share of the product of his labor. Equality instead of slavery. Should 8 men die for that? They say we're against progress, but it's not true. It's the manipulation, the monopolizing of those things. You see, the whole history of humankind is growth, evolution, and revolution, from the slaves and masters of the past to the slave labor of today. But what's the difference, really? Today, the slave can pick his master. So I stand here before you, facing death, facing a lynch mob. And I've seen them before. But this judicial murder is far worse than the violence of a mob. Yes, I charge murder. The willful, malicious violation of every law that guarantees the rights of Americans. If the law was on trial here, as the prosecutor said, then the government has been proven guilty. I broke no law. None of the defendants did. We stand upon the right of free speech, the right of a free press, and the right to assemble, and upon the constitutional right to self-defense. And we defy anyone to rob the people of these dearly bought rights. 3 months ago, I was safe. But I sent word to my wife that I was prepared to defend myself. I came freely to this court. And I have nothing, not even now, to regret.
Thank you, Mr. Parsons. Gentlemen, you have received a fair trial. The people, justifiably outraged, have been extremely patient. We have extended you every protection and privilege of the law you so cynically defiled. My sentencing decision is unchanged. Oscar Niebo will serve 15 years in the state penitentiary. August Spies, Albert Parsons, Samuel Fielden, Louis Ling, Adolf Fischer, George Engel, and Michael Schwab, you shall all be hanged by the neck until dead. The execution is set for December 3rd, 1886.
No matter what the defendants were charged with, they were entitled to a fair trial. And no greater danger could possibly threaten our institutions than to have the courts of justice run wild or give way to popular clamor. The state has never discovered who it was that threw the bomb which killed the policeman, and the evidence does not show any connection whatsoever between the defendants and the man who did throw it. It was necessary for the state to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the person committing the violent deed had at least heard or read the advice the defendants gave the masses. For until he either heard it or read it, he did not receive it. And if he did not receive it, he could not and did not commit the violent act in pursuance of the defendant's advice. It is here that the case for the state fails. For until the state proves from whose hands the bomb came, it is impossible to make any connection between the man who threw the bomb and these defendants.
Alan, come in. Pass the champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
Join our mobile celebration.
Oh, is this your new book, Mr. Carnegie?
Yes, doing fairly well, though I did have to publish it myself. Triumphant Democracy, the title makes my point. In it, I tried to show...
How was it in Chicago?
Oh, well, because of the bomb. Mayor Harrison was forced to come down hard. He's pro-labor. But now he had no choice. It's pretty much a martial law situation.
Excellent. And a guilty verdict, too. Yeah. Here, here.
I'd call it a total victory, Mr. Rockefeller. Seven of the eight are scheduled for hanging. Well, they're on appeal, of course. But we're very confident about the outcome.
I should hope so.
Plus, the strikes are over, and the eight-hour campaign is dead in the water.
Oh, none too soon. That strike was like a heart-stopping. Gotta hand it to those commies had working men twisted round their fingers for a while.
They made the best offer yet. Overthrow the government and take over everything.
Oh, don't make me puke, Andrew. They were just trying to buy the people, and anybody can be bought.
Of course they can.
But thanks to Mr. Pinkerton here, we've outfoxed them.
Not quite, John. Until we complete our current plans, it's imperative we keep the unions at bay.
Oh, well, of course.
That eight-hour crusade could not have come at a worse time. Mm-hmm. Alan, you must keep the lid on labor.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, give him the big picture, J.P.
Get to the point.
All right, Cornelius. As you know, we have amassed considerable assets in a broad range
of
industries.
Get to the point.
Oil, steel, coal, banking, railways, resources, manufacturing, and distribution.
J.P., please.
We are on the verge of coordinating the largest enterprise the world has ever seen.
Here.
We are about to lead America into an era of unparalleled growth and prosperity.
Get to the point!
Calm yourself, John. We're not doing this simply for ourselves. You see, if we complete our plans to consolidate, everyone benefits in the long run. Wages go up. A mighty civilization is built where, a few years ago, there were only savages and wilderness. As I say in my book, this will allow it to provide capital for a variety of social purposes.
Papa always said you had socialist ideas.
He also said you never had an idea in your life.
We're trying to move the country forward. And this damned eight-hour cause could ruin everything. These damned union agitators have no idea what's at stake. Our industries must be allowed to operate without disruption.
No, that could be difficult.
If it was simple, you wouldn't be here. Look, look, you've done a fine job so far. And the bomb, the bomb. A godsend. Just keep the kettle boiling. We'll make sure it gets out nationally.
That's our job. Well, we have the police, the courts, and most of the press with us. But the governor could waffle on clemency. And public opinion is hard to control.
Damn public opinion! We can run it like a stampede. Talk to the editors. Let them know who they're dealing with. Don't, John, me. We're paying for results. If we don't stop them now, we'll be overrun by foreign vermin who shouldn't even be allowed to breed. Dress it up any way you want, but it comes down to this. There are those fit to run things, and then there's the rabble. Millions of them, and very few of us.
It's like that Englishman says, you know, Darwin. It's a struggle for existence, and only the best of us survive.
Well, obviously, Darwin hasn't met you.
Enough. You take our point, Alan. We need time.
And labor so disorganized and offensive that they don't get in the way.
I can't stress too much how important this is. We're building a new world here.
These unionists, Alan, they only see the interest of their own class. And they're jeopardizing everything we've built. The country depends on you. We depend on you. Solidarity forever.
Carpe diem.
Carpe diem. Sot.
Wake up, Mrs. Parsons. Mrs. Parsons, wake up.
There was a train.
Were you on the train?
No, it was not.
Where was the train going?
Nowhere. Nowhere good. Agent Dell?
Yeah, relax, relax. Look, before we start again, I wanted to apologize.
What for?
For yesterday. For what he, Special Agent Hoover, said about you, about your son. He was way out of bounds.
Guilt. I know that feeling. Guilt, regrets. Sometimes I think they're all I have. What I could have done and didn't do.
Yeah, well, I should have stopped him yesterday.
Well, some things you can't stop. And we tried. Speeches, appeals for over a year. We still believed we could save them. We were true believers.
Was it murder to speak out? Was it a crime to fight back? I appreciate that, comrades. And yet Albert and seven other innocent men could still hang. So we've got to keep up the fight. Thank you. And that's why I'm here. The thing is, the capitalists know that hanging the boys could spark a revolution. And that's exactly what could save them.
But how about you, Lucy? How are you and the kids holding up?
Well, it's hard. Junior's feeling it the worst. But he knows his daddy is standing up for all of us. So can I count on you?
Yeah, you're with you.
Great. And remember this, comrades. Don't mourn for them or me. And don't even mourn for yourselves. No, comrades, don't mourn. Organize!
Yeah! Organize!
In spite of the verdict and all the terrible stories, we thought, you know, it's funny to say it now, we thought the revolution was only a matter of time. Like Marx said, historically inevitable.
Really? All of you?
Well, not the lawyers. But before Judge Gary's execution date, we won a stay of execution. So now they were hoping to win on appeal. That is when we weren't making things more difficult.
So how's it going out there, Henry?
Tremendous, really. Especially when Lucy goes out. They rally by the thousands. Albert, I just wish you could see her.
So do I. What about our appeals?
Nothing yet, but we're doing everything we can.
Appeals. A waste of time.
But how about the newspaper, Lewis? We started the fund to revive it.
Saves the ink.
But we need a voice.
We need action. Hey, Lum, you are friendly with the guards, yes?
Fairly.
So you get into the lawyer's room. This me.
I suppose, as a part of the defense committee, what do you have in mind?
We talk private. Later.
And what about you, August? Anything you need?
A little private time with my fiancé.
The anarchist and the debutante?
We're getting married next week.
I just can see the headline. Beauty marries the beast.
I like that. First the wedding, then the hanging.
Why so negative?
Oh, history, Mr. Lloyd. History.
Here comes the hot air.
Insight, Lewis. By the time the Civil War was over, most of the small fish had already been eaten. The sharks had most of the railroads, oil, banking.
And the only thing left was cornering markets.
Yes, and they've almost finished the job. Organized labor is the only thing standing in the way.
That's why the eight-hour campaign is so threatening.
But cheap labor. It's the whole reason we were tried. Cheap labor is crucial. So the labor movement has to be discredited. We were convenient targets.
And when you fight back, you're called terrorists.
Exactly.
Of course, we did help them along, didn't we?
Yeah. It's the least we could do.
Ling wanted to be a martyr. They all did. Engel, Fisher, even Spies fell in love with martyrdom.
What did Albert expect coming back for the trial?
Why are you so interested in all this ancient history, as you call it? Just a bunch of communists who got what they deserved, right?
I never said... That's the way Hoover sees it. And he says, hold you, keep up the pressure, and we'll figure out the charges later. I think you made him angry.
Then the day wasn't completely wasted. And these...
Orders.
You still think I know something?
Probably not. But when your husband came back, you must have realized the risk.
What are you saying? That I would willingly send my husband to the gallows?
No, no.
Look, no one worked harder to save him. I didn't know how far those scum would go. But I learned when I went back on the road.
Did you tell her I was here?
Oh, sir, but Shay followed me anyway.
Why didn't you just jail her when she showed up?
For what?
For offending the people of Ohio. I don't give a damn, Major Coy.
I did what you told me. Posted men at the entrance. Told her the talk had been canceled.
And?
She demanded to see the mayor. You, sir.
I know who I am. Look, Coit, you keep that black bitch out of my face, or you'll be rousting drunks on the south side.
Yes, sir, but I'm not sure I can keep a young lady from doing whatever...
Mayor Walcott! Ah, there you are. I'm Lucy Parsons.
Madam, what do you think you're doing in my private office?
Registering a complaint. I just came from the 14th Regiment Armory in the beautiful city of Columbus, where I was told by this officer that my speaking engagement had been canceled. He said, what was it, Mr. Lloyd?
That the armory wasn't for rent. He provided this letter, ostensibly signed by you. Look, Lucy, I really think we should forget about this. Cincinnati's already lined
no,
up.
No, we need as much exposure.
All right, I signed it. Major Coy, bring in some men. So, what's your complaint?
That I've been denied the right to speak in your city.
Well, that's right. You have. The fact is, anarchists don't speak here in Columbus.
What? You must...
You heard me. Now you've made two mistakes so far, little lady. The first was coming to town at all.
And the second...
Coming in here. Officers, take her upstairs.
What? You get your hands off of me.
What's the charge, may I ask?
I'll think of something. Now get out of here. Before I come up with something for you, too.
Sir, what do you want me to do with her?
Put her in the ranch with the other whores.
Hey, and tomorrow, what do we do tomorrow?
Tomorrow we'll show her what American justice is all about.
Get your hands off of me.
Yeah, sleep tight.
Oh, I wouldn't sit down there.
Gosh, look at the sign. Gosh.
Why not? Bed bugs. But then where do I... We sleep.
Just try to nap sitting up. Or the floor.
Looks pretty cold.
It is, but a lot safer.
Welcome to the ranch.
First time?
Yes. The ranch?
That's what they call it.
First time shouldn't be no problem.
$5 and costs.
Good to know, but why are you here?
Take a wild guess.
Prostitution? Close.
See, Walcott's got a hand in most of the houses around here.
Work there and you're protected. Yeah.
You mean Walcott the mayor?
Yeah, man's a pig, right?
Big shock.
Anyway, I'm here because I don't work in one of his places.
And he don't like that.
No.
Damn. In the others?
The usual.
Drinking, whoring.
In her?
Ooh. A real lady, huh?
Yeah, married some rich swell, right?
But after a year, he gets tired of her.
Yeah. Maybe, not so good in bed.
So what's he do?
Charges adultery.
Yeah. No. That's why she's in here?
Hand to God. And she never did a thing.
Oh, so she says, anyway.
Yeah, pure as the driven snow.
Breaks your heart, don't it?
Is it true?
Yes. Mostly.
There we go.
He said one night, he said, well, if I'm going to pay for it, he meant...
Oh, see, I told ya.
Well, then he says I ought to be getting fair value.
Bastard! And the charge is adultery.
Uh-huh. And when they brought me in, they took my bag.
Oh,
all my money was inside that bag. Oh, don't let on if you're carrying any money. The guards will soak you, that's for sure.
But you said I could buy my way out.
Well, you can if you play it smart.
Of course, $10 in the right hand at the right time.
But it does depend on what you're in for.
So, what'd you do?
I insulted the mayor.
Ooh. Bad move.
Why would you do that?
Well, I was supposed to speak at the armory tonight, and he wouldn't let me.
Speak?
Honey, what, with your mouth full?
Who the hell are you, honey?
Hey, you ladies ever think of forming a union?
Yeah.
We actually did pretty well on the lecture circuit, but it didn't matter. The Supreme Court turned down a new trial. Then the only thing left was appealing to Oglesby, the governor. It could have worked. He wanted to commute the sentences, but he needed for them, the men, to ask for mercy.
And to recant.
Yes, they had to apologize. But the real problem was Field and other capitalists. They had their hooks in him. The mail was running in our favor. We were getting through. We were. But as usual, the boys were their own worst enemies. I told Albert, don't tie yourself up with him. But he was determined.
He didn't recant, did he?
No.
But you did ask him to.
What do you mean?
You did ask him to write a letter, didn't you?
Look, men, this is going to keep you alive. Each of you writes a letter. I already have them from Michael and Sam. How about it, Mr. Engel?
I won't beg for forgiveness.
You'd rather hang?
If that's the choice, my death will be murder. Murder by the courts. Let them explain that in history.
This is insanity. Ling, I know. Waste of time. But, Albert, good, I see your writing.
It's an article, Henry, not an apology.
You can't. Damn it, man. Think of Lucy and the children.
I am. This is an appeal to the people, not some politician looking to cut his losses. What do you think Lucy would do if she was here?
Ask her.
I already have.
And what did she say?
She gave me this line, Patrick Henry. He asks, is life so dear and peace so sweet that it should be purchased at the price of slavery?
Good quote.
So what do you think, Henry? Slavery or death?
He was right, young Mr. Hoover, in a way. I did lead my husband down a path to nowhere. Oh, I was tough. Absolutely sure we could shame the system.
Still, they shouldn't have died.
They wanted to. Some of them. It was like being part of some inevitable chain of events. You can fight it and inevitably lose, or you can accept it and make it mean something.
Oh, it meant something. It meant human beings could be destroyed just because they offended the wrong people.
My, my. Developing a conscience? Now that could be inconvenient in your line of work.
I'm just...
angry. I joined the Bureau to lock up criminals, not persecute people just because. Jesus, I can't believe they locked you up rather than let you speak.
What do you think you did the other day?
That was different.
You were just following orders. And your boss isn't completely wrong.
You don't mean that.
Well, we did want to change the system, the whole thing. Just not in the way he says. And we had a right to do it. But I see things now, things I didn't see then.
What? What do you see?
Look, democracy isn't some magic formula that always works. It's flawed, like us. Oh, I was angry when Junior went to the war in Cuba. Remember the Maine? I'd raise him for the revolution, but he believed in the country. He wanted to be a soldier, a patriot. He was like Albert in a way, but he'd been robbed of his childhood, his father.
You don't have to talk about this.
Oh, it's all right. I was so wrapped up in my own... What? My grievances. I didn't see he had his own. They were eating at him, and all I could do was think he must be crazy. But he didn't get the one thing from me that he might have helped him. Unconditional love. I didn't give him that.
How long was he?
In the mental ward? 20 years.
He's better now?
He's not suffering anymore.
God, no.
Tuberculosis.
How old was he?
40.
I'm so sorry.
So am I. That's what I mean. We're all so flawed, so fragile. So how could we make a government that isn't?
We can try.
Thanks. You know, Junior was only 8 when Albert was waiting to die. They saw each other a few times at the jail, but I don't think they ever talked about what was happening to them. It was a long year. We lost the appeal. The only hope left was Governor Ogilvie's compassion. And he was running scared again.
Hot news from the outside world, boys.
What? More lies from Tribune?
No, it's the alarm. Your appeal is in it.
All of it?
When Ogilvie reads this, he will have to save you all. Don't you see it, August?
Yeah, I don't see how we can fail now.
It's not over yet, boys. People are...
aroused, a short-lived and essentially unsatisfying phenomenon. That's what I expect.
Cynic.
Dogmatist. What news from my bride?
Well, she's pretty down, but I do have good news. We've been working on a plan to bust you boys out of here.
Are you insane?
It's not set yet, but a few of the men are ready for it.
Idiots! You'll just get yourselves killed.
All right. Quiet, they'll hear.
Spies is right, for a change. Better to be martyrs than outlaws. Come here, newspaper boy. My copy's poorly printed. Give me another. And next time, bring some cigars.
Are you sure?
Everyone loves a good cigar. Brings him.
It was code. But we didn't find that out until a few days later when the bulls found the bombs.
Up against the wall! Yeah. I said no!
When I got to the jail, the reporters all cornered me.
Who had the bombs?
Your husband ready to die?
Anyone get killed?
I had to say something, so I said, why should we believe them?
Well, why should we believe you?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time the state planted evidence.
Do you know that for a fact?
If there are bombs, who put them there? That's the real question. Actually, they were Ling's cigars. I don't have the answers.
Well, who does?
But I do have a question. Pretty convenient, isn't it? Convenient. Just days before the execution, more terror?
What are you insinuating?
A perfect justification. Ooh, I was so damn clever and wrong. But the worst was Albert and me, letting him throw his life away.
Look, Albert, in 3 days, our delegation meets with the governor. Just write the damned letter and think about your children.
That's enough. This isn't about my family. It's about all our families.
It's too late for this kind of heroics. Political commitment is fine.
It's not political. It's practical. There are 6 other men and their families. If I ask for mercy, I'll get it, right? Spare the American, then hang the foreigners?
They couldn't.
Oh, they could, and they will. Unless I stand firm. If I, too, refuse to recant, just maybe they'll blink.
You're willing to bet your life on that?
Nothing else left to bet.
Yes, it was noble. But Oglesby hadn't budged for months. It got down to just 2 days. And then Henry Lloyd and Sam Gompers, the labor boss, finally got an appointment. The AFL had kept as far as possible from the case. But the rank and file, some of them anyway, could see through the bloodlust. So Gompers joined the group. The next day, the last day, we got the governor's answer. Clemency, but only for the 2 had written apologies, Fielden and Schwab. The other 5 were still heading for the hangman. I remember, I visited with Albert that last night.
Beg for my life? Lucy, do you really want me to?
Albert, I want you to live.
But at what price? It's not my warrior princess, be honest. If you were here and I was there, would you do anything different? We're shaking the world, darling.
But you'll be gone, and I'll still be here. I won't make it.
You will.
No, I don't want to. I can't.
Hey, promise me, you've got to go on. You and Junior and Lulu, because this doesn't end here. This is just the beginning.
We can't know the future, Albert. Just what we lose on the way.
Not only that, also what we can gain. We're going to win, I know it. There aren't many things worth dying for, honey, but this. Human freedom for workers everywhere.
But Albert, if I asked you to write that letter, would you?
Have I ever been able to resist you?
So you say.
I love you.
I love you too, honey.
You see those 2, huh? They think love conquers all. Bourgeois claptrap. The only thing that conquers is the one with the biggest balls. They want to hang Louis Ling. How do they say it? Fat chance. They are not in charge. Let the sheep wait for the slaughter. Louis Ling has other plans. And there it is. Well made. Everyone loves a good cigar. And first you bite off the tip.
The dynamite cap blew off the bottom of his handsome face. They left him in his cell for hours till he died.
One could envy his passion.
A fool could.
Spending their last nights listening to that. It must have made the others crazy.
I don't know why it didn't. They were ready. At 2 in the morning, Albert was entertaining prisoners and guards with a poem recited from memory. He came to terms with it better than I ever have. I've always wondered how. Maybe he still expected a last-minute reprieve. It never came. And the next morning, I went early with the kids for our last words with Albert. The crowd was already larger than what we had had at the Haymarket. We tried to get through. It was all a blur. The crowd outside the jail, the police, shotguns, pistols. God, I almost couldn't breathe. None of it made sense. And all I wanted was to get past them all, to see them. To tell him, write it! Write the damn letter! My husband is inside, let us by! But the bull said he couldn't, and he sent us down the line to the next corner and the next. It was one of those cold November days, and Lulu started turning blue. We were promised, I told them, but it didn't matter. Finally, I just ran across the police line and I yelled, "You are murdering my husband. Why not kill me, too?" That got their attention.
So they sent us, me, the children, my friend Lizzie, down the line to see a captain, I think, and he says, sorry, but got no word about it. I begged him, asked someone, I said, please, I just want to say goodbye. So he looks at me and he says, come with me. Let's see what we can do. And I was desperate enough to believe him. Soon as we got round the corner, I saw the patrol wagon. But before I could do anything, they grabbed us and they threw us inside.
What happened?
They took us to the station at Chicago Avenue. Down and down to the basement cells. Hold them till it's over. That was the order. Then this woman, this guard, comes in.
All right, strip.
Strip?
All of you.
Even the children. Stripped and searched and locked in separate cells. It was cold, so cold and silent. Deadly silent. And why? I mean, with the sight of a wife, a mother? No anarchists can't be allowed to look human, can they?
How long were you there?
I don't know. Long enough for them to march Albert and the other three to the gallows. Almost 200 witnesses were watching. That's what I heard afterward. Even members of the jury. By this time, there were hoods over their heads and nooses around their necks. And Spee spoke first.
The time will come when our silence will be more powerful than the voices you strangle today.
Then Fisher.
Hooray for anarchy.
And Engel.
This is the happiest moment of my life.
And then Albert.
Will I be allowed to speak? Men of America, let me speak. Let me speak. Let the voice of the people be heard.
We're almost done here. Judge Gary, the judge in the Haymarket case, recently published an article in the Century magazine. Although written nearly 6 years after the trial, it is yet full of venom. Pretending to simply review the case, he makes an insinuating attack on one of the lawyers for the defense, not for anything done at the trial, but because more than a year later, when some of the defendants had already been hung, he ventured to express a few kind, if erroneous, sentiments over the graves of his dead clients, whom he at least believed to be innocent. But such charges are of a personal character. And while they seem to be sustained by the trial record and the papers before me, and tend to show the trial was not fair, I do not care to discuss this feature of the case any further. On the other hand, I am convinced it is clearly my duty to act in this case for the reasons already given. And therefore, I hereby grant an absolute pardon to Samuel Fielden, Oscar Niebe, and Michael Schwab this 26th day of June, 1893. Well, there it is.
Didn't understand. I'm sorry, really.
You weren't even born then. And history fades.
It doesn't have to.
True. You know, we did put up a monument for them, the martyrs. June 25th, 1893, in Waldheim Cemetery. Albert Jr. did the honors. He was still only 14. I remember they played the Marseillaise, and then the very next day, Al Good issued the pardons.
It hurt his career pretty badly, I heard.
I guess. Could have been president, so they say, if he hadn't done the right thing. But he did. At least Bonfield and Shack were gone by then.
Really? What happened?
Accepting bribes, stolen goods. Too dirty even for Chicago. They may even have set up the bombing themselves.
But we'll probably never know for sure.
Suppose not. All that ancient history. Yet here we are, almost 30 years later, still making the same mistakes.
Yes, I see that now.
But you know, what matters most isn't the regrets or vengeance or even winning the fight. It's what we do each day to keep our dreams and their memories alive. At least that's what I tell myself. They weren't perfect men, James. But they died for something.
Yes. I think I know what we should do now.
What?
Complete this interview. Just one or two more questions.
Go ahead.
So you swear that you have no information about any plans to damage property or disrupt business with violence in the city of Chicago?
Whatever you like, yes.
And you also swear that you personally have no intention to damage people or property?
All right. I swear.
Good. Then we're done here. You're free to go.
Can you do that?
I'm doing it.
But what about Agent Hoover?
Special agent. He's in Centralia by now. Plenty of evildoers to threaten up there.
A very sick man. Should have quite a government career.
Did you see those index cards of his? It's just the beginning. He seems to want files on everyone.
He may get his wish.
That's what I'm afraid of.
So will he be upset with you?
Outraged, I expect. Don't worry. I'll deal with it. Or find a new career.
Good plan.
We'll see. But you go now. Get out of here.
Don't have to ask me twice. What day is it?
November 13th.
Oh, I've been in here that long?
Yeah. And I'm sorry about the Haymarket commemoration.
Oh, don't worry about that. We'll have another one next year. But thank you.
No, Lucy. Thank you.
Inquisitions and Other Un-American Activities was written by Greg Guma, directed by Bill Boardman, audio designed by Steve Osterlund, and co-produced by Toward Freedom and the Catalyst Theater Company. The Inquisition's acting ensemble includes Sandra Gartner as the older Lucy Parsons, Sheila Collins as the younger Lucy, Malcolm Purinton as Albert Parsons, Mike Boland as Agent James Dell, Martin Pincus as Governor John Altgelt, Chris Lloyd as Henry Demarest Lloyd, Alex Ball as J. Edgar Hoover, Mayor Harrison, and Dyer Lum, Wayne Martens as Alan Pinkerton, Defense Attorney Black, Samuel Fielden, and George Engel, Will Alexander as Louis Ling, John D. Rockefeller, a Pinkerton goon, and Albert Parsons Jr., Ruth Wallman as August Spies and a prostitute in jail, Doug Bernstein as Marshall Field and Cornelius Vanderbilt, Roger Dodge as Prosecutor Grinnell, Officer Coit, and a Pinkerton goon, Mike Goldstein as Mayor Walcott and Gus the Working Man, Larry Lambeth as John Bonfield, J.P. Morgan, and Adolph Fisher, Andrea Moss as Michael Schwab, Lulu Parsons, and a prostitute in jail, Michael Parrish as William Seliger, Phil Pizeski as Judge Gary, Greg Swain as Inspector Shack and Andrew Carnegie, and Lisa Andrew as Kate in jail and a prison guard. Producing artistic director for Catalyst Theater Company is Veronica Lopez. Production crew included Brad Butler, technical director and lighting designer for the stage production, and Alice Dodge as lighting assistant and console operator. Inquisitions is copyrighted by Greg Guma. If you would like to purchase a copy of the production on compact disc or stage the play in your community, call Toward Freedom at 802-657-3733 or visit the TF website at towardfreedom.com.